The Blazers Edge Podcast with Dave Deckard.
I'm a little distracted. I think the Blazers are still scoring on Denver.
And Phil Nasons.
Man, that was a beatdown. I knew that they would win big, but I didn't think that big. And they are still scoring. You can hear the balls bouncing in the background. And you can hear the voice of Bill Shonley saying, Rip City, welcome to the Blazers Edge Podcast. My name is Phil Nasons, and I am the co-host of this weekly NBA podcast dedicated to your Portland Trailblazers. We're sponsored by BlazersEdge.com. We're heard daily on Max Sports channels at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. And we're having a great time doing this show. And when I say we, please welcome the exalted Poobah, my co-host, Dave Deckard, is in the house. Dave, welcome to your own show.
Well, welcome to you too, Phil. I understand that your daily show, the Phil Nason Show, has been nominated for Podcast of the Year, so I'm honored to be with you, and you're going up against some heavy hitters, I think, ESPN and the like.
Yep, we sure are. This is our third year, too. I appreciate you bringing that up. Thank you very much. You're a big part of that daily show. You're here every Thursday on my show, and that's where I met you, and I'm happy to be a part of that. I don't need awards, but we're going after the ESPNs of the world, and that's the honor in and of itself. But the greatest honor that I get is to work with so many amazing people. And what we're going to do is the voting ends, I guess, February the 2nd. I just found out just before I went on air this morning with my daily show. And what I'm going to do is send the guys a link, because the award is, when we win it, it won't be just mine. It'll be yours, too. And you listeners out there who do listen to my daily show, it's amazing. It's a great honor. And I'm just thankful that you brought that up. Thank you.
Well, you know, we have high-quality folks around here, so it's an honor to work with you, and congratulations.
Well, thank you very much, and when we win, we're all going to have a great time. We're going to have a hootenanny, as John Calvin used to say.
Hootenanny. Okay, great grandpa. We'll get the peach basket and hope the Blazers can make an underhanded shot.
Yeah, this kid in my youth group, he asked me about basketball in my day. He goes, "Was that? Did they have color film then?" And I'm like, "Shut up." Yeah. Of course they did. But I'll tell you what. This has been a trying week for the Portland Trailblazers in the win-loss column, but what's even worse is LaMarcus Aldridge hurt his thumb against Sacramento. What happened there, Dave? Can you elucidate for us? Let us know what's happening with the big LA.
Well, it'd be nice if we knew. As of the time we're recording, we don't have an update other than x-rays are negative, which they released after the game last night. Apparently, he did something to his hand, his thumb, against DeMarcus Cousins' knee when swiping down, tried to steal the ball. And he left the game immediately. He knew something was wrong, went straight to the locker room, didn't stop at the bench. Faces were long, from what I've heard. I mean, obviously, they would be in such a situation, but even somewhat after the injury occurred, there was some obviously concerned. However, the negative x-rays, that's nice, but there are a lot of things that can go wrong with the hand. They have not released results of the MRI yet. They have not given any prognosis yet. I assume they're being cautious. They like to release full information, and they especially don't like to say, well, it turns out that everything looks positive, because they've had too many bad experiences with injuries where at first blush, x-rays didn't indicate that anything much was wrong, and then they turned out to be devastating. So we're waiting to see what's going to become of it. Obviously, losing Aldridge for any length of time would be a major blow to the Blazers, and we'll just have to cross our fingers and hope.
Yeah, that's a tough one, especially your thumbs. Man, that is tough, and he is so important, so valuable to not only the Portland Trailblazers, but to the NBA, because when you've got a player of his stature, of his ability, and more importantly, his character, you don't want to see him gone, no matter whether you're a Portland Trailblazer fan or an NBA, you don't want to see this happen. And it's a sad day, but at least the x-rays, the initial ones, were negative, and that's a very good sign. And he's a tough kid, right?
Well, yeah, and you can't overstate his importance to the team. I'm not saying that he is yet the caliber of a Clyde Drexler or a Bill Walton, but he means just about as much to this team as those guys did to their teams. Both when Drexler and Walton went down, their teams turned from championship contenders to, you know, playoff teams, but not really serious playoff teams. That's about what will probably happen to the Blazers if Aldridge is out for an extended period, which, again, we hope doesn't happen. But people start asking these questions, of course, as soon as the injury comes up. And there's just no replacing him. You can applaud the effort of a Myers Leonard or a Thomas Robinson. And you could look at the bright side as far as giving Damian Lillard more shots or giving Wesley Matthews and Nicola Batum a chance to stretch their wings. But the reality is all those players pretty much, except for Robinson, feed off of Aldridge. The hub of the offense is LaMarcus. He sets up everything else, even when he doesn't touch the ball. His presence dominates the court enough to where the opponent just can't do their due diligence with the other players. And you get a lot of guys in single coverage. That's going to change if Aldridge is out. And as we began to see last night against Sacramento, both Lillard and Matthews took a ton of shots and missed a ton of shots. And their offense is just not going to be quite the same without Aldridge in there distracting people and setting them up.
Yeah, that was well put. You're right, too. And I've tried to convince people for the last, 10 days or so, how important LaMarcus is to the Portland Trailblazers, how important he is to the NBA. And while we don't want to make light of his injury or kind of try to dissuade people from even thinking about it, I'm a little disappointed that he wasn't an all-star starter, why more fans don't appreciate him the way that we do. And it disappointed me greatly, almost as much as this injury and who knows how long he's going to be out. I'm very disappointed that LaMarcus is not a starter on the NBA All-Star team for the Western Conference.
Yeah, I mean, he should be, or he should be very close. And there's just, I don't see a lot of alternatives, especially now that the front court is three front court players rather than two forwards and a center. I don't see how Aldridge doesn't end up one of the top three forwards in the NBA, let alone one of the top three forwards in the West. So it's a big deal. And, it's obviously something that the Aldridge and the Blazers are a little disappointed about. But as long as he's healthy, as long as he's able to play, the record and the performance on the court will prove itself. You just hope he gets the chance to prove everybody wrong fairly. It would just be tough for the Blazers to have such a great start for the season and then derail it for a month because Aldridge is out.
Yeah, you said a mouthful there. It is kind of a somber Blazers Edge podcast today because, well, it's been a tough week, too. Before the injury, that game against the Los Angeles Clippers, I really thought that they were going to win that game, that they were going to pull it out. DeAndre Jordan decided to be a beast on the boards, and that was a tough game, Dave. That was a tough one to take, and that's kind of set the tone for the entire week, didn't it?
Well, it's kind of a theme this week. You had DeAndre Jordan. He started it against the Clippers. He didn't finish it. The Blazers shut him down, but at the cost of guarding Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. But you had DeAndre Jordan. You had DeMarcus Cousins, who gave the Blazers fits. Marc Gasol, obviously, is a really strong center. And the Blazers handled him a little better, but I'm not sure that the Grizzlies needed him in order to win. Had he wanted, Gasol probably could have scored a lot more than he did. So you have three centers in four games that were really tough to handle. And the Blazers lost three of those four games. They beat Sacramento, obviously, and Cousins, but barely. And Cousins fouls out at the end of that game under, you know, not normal circumstances. He had a fantastic game and then got ticky-tack fouled towards the end, got tied up with Thomas Robinson. By the way, Robinson did a great job coming in and disrupting Cousins. And one of the only ways to take him out of the game is just getting his head. And Robinson got really physical with him and did that. But that's the only way that the Blazers have been able to handle a center this week.
And this is the part of the schedule we talked about. You and I talked about this off air one day after my show, is when we do this series, especially with the Clippers, San Antonio, Memphis, where we will miss Robin Lopez the most. And I think that we saw that, how important Robin Lopez is to the Portland Trailblazers. He does things, those little things that just, well, these guys, as hard as they try, and they do a good job, aren't as good at it as he is.
Yeah, there's no real intimidation factor. Chris Kaman has experience, but not the physicality and maybe not the drive on defense. You know, it's hard to know what's going on with him internally, but the product on the court certainly doesn't match up to Lopez. Let's put it that way. The Blazers suffer rebounding. Myers Leonard has done fantastically scoring and really has put his heart and soul into most of these games. He had one really horrible game, but he's really poked his head out of the sand otherwise and performed pretty well, but it's just not the same. Even 150% of what you're used to seeing out of Myers Leonard doesn't quite equal a normal Robin Lopez. And it's not that Lopez is just that great, but the chemistry that is there, the intelligence and sense of the court are there, and he's just able to put his big body in the right place to help his teammates, whereas everybody else is just kind of exposing their teammates.
I agree with that completely, too. Man, Myers Leonard has played really well. I wish he would change those shoes, though. They don't look thuggish. We need a thuggish thing. But back to the Robin Lopez. The other thing it does, and this is why I was so excited about him coming to the Portland Trail Blazers in the first place, is it takes some of the pressure off LaMarcus Aldridge. And now he's got to do a lot more. And, well, let's just keep our fingers crossed that he is back relatively quickly.
Well, that's the other thing that you don't notice is people focus on Aldridge's offensive numbers, which are really pretty good. But the uptick this year for Aldridge has been defense, has been rebounding, has been that sense of being there on the critical plays when his team needs him. Seriously, I can't count the number of times when LaMarcus has just stepped up when the team is faltering on the defensive end or on the glass and just said, I'm going to take this. I got this. And he does. And it has not been Damian Lillard. It has not been Nikola Batum. It has been LaMarcus Aldridge doing everything. And it's just, first of all, it's fantastic. It's hard for me to recall such a dramatic evolution in that way. Not necessarily, again, in production, but in terms of timing and in terms of leadership. Aldridge has done it. And it's just hard to replace that if he's not there.
Yeah, there isn't any replacing it. Not in this current roster, there isn't. And there's no real reason to look elsewhere yet because we don't know what's going to happen. We think it's going to be all right. We hope it's going to be all right. You know, we talked about this a few weeks ago about the real San Antonio Spurs, and I wasn't too disappointed. Even though I don't like to lose to that team, any team that I root for, I don't want to see them lose to the San Antonio Spurs because I hold them up to such a regard that if the team I'm supporting beats them, that must mean something to me. That must mean that that team is doing pretty good and my eyes aren't deceiving me. But that San Antonio team, no one should hang their hats or hang their heads if you're a Portland Trailblazers fan, because that's the real San Antonio Spurs that night.
Yeah, that was a tough game, and you kind of knew it would be because San Antonio, if you recall, wanted the last game between these two teams. That was played in San Antonio. The first game they kind of almost threw away. They didn't they didn't start all their guys. They had injuries on top of that. They played their bench, obviously starting, and they did well enough. They always do in that situation, but you never got the sense that they were really, really in that game. They just figured, we'll chalk this one up. It might be important to the Blazers because it's our first matchup after last year, but it's not important to us. After that, though, after they had lost the first one, they were ready to win the second one, and it went to triple overtime. They played Tim Duncan like 50 minutes, and they still end up losing it. And that was a big feather in Portland's cap, and it was a big deal. And I think it was a big deal to San Antonio, too, because not only did they have all their players back this time, but you got the sense that they were not going to let the young upstarts take another one from them, that they were ready to play, that you woke up the beast. Now, I'm not sure the Spurs can turn it on like that in the playoffs or anywhere else. It's not like they're this magically amazing team that's just sandbagging it through the year. They have legit issues, and they don't always play well, at least not this year. But you got the sense that this was a target game for them, and when they do target a game, they're still more than capable of being an elite team.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you saw that. And Kawhi Leonard, you saw also how important he is to them. Not even close to as important as LaMarcus Aldridge is, though, to the Portland Trailblazers. But this little three-game spurt in Memphis, you know, I predicted that the fellas would be 3-1 between last week's show and this week's, and it looks like it was 1-3. But the game against Memphis was incredibly winnable, and I thought they were going to pull that one out. I loved watching that basketball game, by the way.
Yeah, it was interesting, but I didn't have as much optimism as you, I suppose, while I was watching. I don't know. It's hard. It's kind of right-brained, but I think I've earned a little right brain after doing this for basically a decade, every night. You can tell when the Blazers are in control of a game or not, and sometimes that switches. They'll be not in control in the first half and then clamp down in the second half and really take it. The Blazers weren't in control of that game at all until the fourth quarter. And even then it was a little late. So, you know, they being down by 20 against some teams is okay. If you're down by 20 against Memphis, you better hope for a miracle. And, you know, it was one of those games where you're going, if they win it, not sure they entirely deserve it, which doesn't matter one way or the other. A win's a win. But when you get that feeling, you start to look at the opponent and you say, okay, well, if it's the Kings, you can probably chalk up a W there. But if it's the Grizzlies, if it's an elite team or a playoff team, and you don't deserve to win, you're probably not going to win. It was tough to watch, frankly, for me. And I almost develop a little bit of cynicism when they have this big fourth quarter comeback. It's emotional. And you want them to win. But you start asking, where was this at least a quarter ago? At least it could have been the whole second half, let alone from the start of the game. And I think that's one of the issues with the Blazers this year, is that for whatever reason, they just don't bring it from the start. And I think eventually that's going to bite them as they face better teams.
Yeah, I absolutely respect your opinion too. Even though I'm probably a bigger cheerleader than you, only because I get to be a fan. And those were my two favorite teams, or are my two favorite teams in the West, have been for years. I purposely didn't take notes while I watched it. I just watched it as a fan. And one of the things that stood out to me was what a great acquisition Steve Blake was, because he had a nice basketball game against Memphis. Okay, even though Portland didn't come out on top, he played pretty well. I think he had like 8 or 9 assists. He did well, but no one could seem to solve the riddle of Zach Randolph. Now, how do you solve the riddle of Zach Randolph with this current roster?
Well, I'm not entirely sure you do. You can just out-LaMarcus him, for the most part. And this is one of the nice things about this roster, is you go, oh, you're going to have trouble with such and such a player. And then you go, oh, but they're going to have trouble with Damian Lillard and LaMarcus Aldridge too. So at least you're even and maybe a little bit ahead. And on top of that, your supporting cast is pretty darn good. So really, I don't worry too much about individual matchups anymore. I tend to worry about what Blazer team is going to show up. And I've only had to worry about that really, actually, since Robin Lopez has been injured. So, I mean, part of it is roster related and not mental attitude, because they have to show up harder with Lopez out than they do otherwise. So, you know, I don't have a lot of worries. I don't have a lot of concerns about whether the Blazers can play with anyone in the West. They can. They can play with everyone in the West, and I would give the Blazers a chance in a 7-game series against anyone. But you just have to ask, how committed are they? How focused are they? How able are they to give the kind of effort that burns through 48 minutes of intense play rather than burning through 14 minutes of intense play in a comeback win?
Those are all great points, too. I think you're right. It's all about intensity for 48 minutes. And they didn't show that in any game over the last four, I don't think. And I think that's part of the problem. Maybe they're a little tired. Maybe because people are starting to pay attention to them. Maybe they're believing their own hype because they are young. But this team will turn around. This team will be fine. This team will be fine because, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge is there, and he's unguardable. More importantly, he's a real leader. Now, when does Robin Lopez return, you think? It's a couple more weeks, right?
Yeah, we've not had any news on that, but hopefully it'll be soon. Joel Freeland as well, something we shouldn't miss, besides looking at Steve Lake. When you're right, he had a nice couple games after after a little slump there. But Joel Freeland should be back, and keep in mind, when Lopez first went down, the Blazers were playing pretty well and pretty consistently because Joel Freeland was stepping in admirably for Lopez in a way that nobody else has been able to do. So the Blazers really need him back as well. And when they get those two back, things will look a lot sunnier. Hey, you know, and part of the reason why they don't, obviously, is caliber of opponent. They got a really tough 3-game stretch at the end of last week. And then even Sacramento is kind of a bad matchup for them. So the caliber opponent obviously has something to do with that. And we don't want to dismiss that. But the thing is to concentrate on is the habits the Blazers have built. And if they come out kind of figuring, well, we're going to come back and win this game and let's not take the regular season too intensely because it's about playoff basketball right now. And it felt like that's what was happening at the beginning of the season, and fine and good. It worked. They have an amazing record, but the pattern is there, and that pattern is not going to serve them real well against these better teams. As we are saying, if you really want to win against the elite teams, you've got to be able to flip that switch and say, okay, on this game, we're not going to treat this like a regular season game. And this game, we're going to come out and we're going to play like it's the playoffs from the get-go. They did that kind of against the Clippers, ended up losing anyway. I don't feel that they did that really as much against the Spurs or against the Grizzlies or, frankly, against the Kings.
Yeah, I agree with that. They didn't. But this is a new week, and this is going to be tough without LaMarcus there. That's just not great. He may be there Wednesday. We don't know yet. At the time of this recording, there is no news. But it is interesting. You know, the other thing, too, is when teams start to lose after they haven't lost in a while, the critics start to come out. And I saw some things on Twitter. I wanted to talk to you about this.
Sure.
Damian Lillard, do you think he shoots too much?
Oh, Lord. Yeah, you knew that was coming.
It drives me crazy when they do that, because they don't say anything when he wins.
Okay. Yeah. So look, that particular criticism, I think, is only results-based. In other words, it's a hind-end criticism, not a systemic one. Because when those shots were falling, he wasn't shooting too much. And the same shooting too much that causes you to cringe this week caused you to jump up in joy and make your own highlight reel to some great music in weeks past. So, no, he doesn't shoot too much. However, you see a couple of things. Number one, again, is kind of the Aldridge effect or the pressure effect. As LaMarcus is out, you're going to see Lillard have to shoot more, and you're going to see more pressure on him to really carry the team. And you got to remember, he's still figuring that out. He's still young. LaMarcus himself went through this same phase. I'm not sure that he ever shot too much, so to speak, but you saw him go through his phase of trying to do too much and trying to do it too quickly. And when Aldridge is there steadying things, that's not an issue for Damian. But when Aldridge is either out or he's not having a great game, or he is having a great game, but by the time you get to the fourth quarter, the Blazers are still down 15, I think Lillard feels that pressure. And he succeeded for the most part, but sometimes I think that pressure gets the best of him and he just kind of gets tunnel vision and takes over and believes every shot is going to fall. The other thing is the shot selection makes a big difference. And you can tell they look kind of like the same when they're a dot on a shot chart, but they're not the same kind of shot. When Lillard is coming off a screen, lining up his body, he might be fading away a little bit, but he's squared up and his hands and arms are in line. That shot's going in. But sometimes that doesn't happen. He isn't coming off a screen. He tries a step back that's closely guarded. He's nervous. He's not in good form. And those shots aren't going in. And we've just seen too many of the second in the fourth quarter over the last few games. But that doesn't mean he's shooting too much. It means that he's not getting quite the right kind of shot and not having the right approach to them.
That's a tremendous answer, too. I laughed when I saw that on Twitter. I thought that you would, too, when I sent it to you. But that's just it. You know, it's the shot selection. And he's taking shots. Maybe it's the defense is getting better and getting more accustomed to guarding him. But he has had some contested shots that maybe he didn't have in the past. And that's a credit to his talent and his ability. And, of course, the defense is focusing more on him now. And they're trying to stop him. Right?
And, well, the other thing is there's a difference between Damian Lillard getting to the rim, getting fouled, getting his points off of free throws, and then salting in some amazing fourth quarter bombs, and Damian Lillard just bombing. And we've seen a little bit of that lately, that he hasn't, when he's had his rough games, he hasn't been driving. He's been settling for the 25-foot shot that's contested, that goes in when he needs it to. I mean, even that you can't really criticize about Lillard, because how many miraculous shots has he hit? They're not even miracles anymore, that he makes them look common, but he doesn't rely on anything but that. Sometimes he just gets it in his head that he's going to be the miracle man. And the truth is, in those games when he was the miracle man because, first of all, he got some easier points. And then he added the amazing highlight shots as frosting, instead of trying to cram frosting down the opponent's throat from the third quarter on.
Yeah, those are good observations. And there are times the last couple of games when I think maybe he's a little hurt and he hasn't been going to the rim as much. Maybe something's wrong with his legs. Who knows? But to criticize the kid for missing shots that you praise him for when he makes, it's not a very good idea. Leave him be. He'll be fine. He's going through that issue. You know, he's young, and he's trying to do things that, well, he thinks he's Superman at times. And Terry Stotts is a great coach. He's going to take care of it, and it's going to be fabulous. Just trust me. I think a lot of him. And the criticism that he's getting, you know, Russell Westbrook gets that too. And that guy can deliver just like Damian does. And when Damian has his experience, he'll be 10 times better than Russell Westbrook. That's my feeling on that. I think it's time to talk about our player of the week.
Blazers Edge Player of the Week.
Yeah, well, this will be an interesting week. We've not ever had to do this after so many losses. Who have you got?
Well, because I was a little disappointed, I've decided to make the Blazer of the Week and to cheer myself up. I'm going to give it to whoever the physician is who heals LaMarcus's thumb.
That's not a bad choice, actually. That's ironically enough, and this is the problem with injuries, is that may be the most important guy in the building right now. So, yeah, you hate to see that, but there it is. You know what? I think I'm gonna give another hat tip to Myers Leonard, just because he came in, he had one bad game, but really, he is playing his way off the bench right now, and the most beautiful thing about Myers right now is that you don't notice him until he hits a shot. And I cannot tell you how many times I noticed him sticking out like a sore thumb in his early career. You know, makes you slap your forehead every time he puts two sneakers on the court. And you can't avoid the awfulness that's going on in his defense, in his rebounding. And now that awfulness is contained to maybe a couple comical moments. But other than that, he's fitting in pretty well defensively. He's fitting in well rebounding. And his offense has been a nice revelation. So I know other people have stats. And I know we've talked about Leonard before. But really, I think we should give another boost to the guy, because he's making a serious campaign to become part of the regular rotation. And it's not comic. It's not funny. It's not humorous joke anymore. Like, wow, look at the little guy go. Seriously, he is playing very well. So legitimately, no tongue in cheek. Congratulations to Myers Leonard, and congratulations on what you're doing. It's a pretty big deal, and the Blazers need him right now. So go Myers.
Hey, that's 2 weeks in a row. He's my guy too. And the reason being is something Sean Elliott said on the telecast. I was watching it from the Spurs telecast, and he said, look at this guy. You don't see a 7'1" guy shoot like that. He says, look at the way he shoots. He says, it looks natural. He looks comfortable. And I was watching him, and, you know, once I got past the old hot pink sneakers he wears, I'm like, yeah. He fits right in now. He doesn't stick out, like you said. And I thought that was fantastic. And it's great. You're right. He is the Blazer of the Week, next to, of course, the team physician, who will be the Blazer of the Year if he heals LaMarcus so he can play on Wednesday night against Phoenix. Now, what's that going to be like without LaMarcus Aldridge? That could be a tough test.
Yeah, I mean, Phoenix is one of those teams, again, or is the team, that's just below most people's top eight. They're doing well, and they're not necessarily center-based, though. So this may be a little bit of an advantage. Now, Chris Kaman, I think, might have a rough time. It just depends. You have to flip a coin. Do you like Chris Kaman's advantage on the offensive end, or do you like his disadvantage on the defensive end, chasing more mobile centers? But the Blazers might have a solution for that in going small, in playing Myers Leonard, in a little bit of Thomas Robinson. Obviously, they're not better without Aldridge, but you do have some mechanism to cope. Now, if Aldridge is out, I don't necessarily expect the Blazers to win this game, or let's put it this way. I'm not confident in the Blazers' ability to win this game. I think they can, but it's not like you go, that's a W, the way you would if the team was healthy. But I do think that they can play with Phoenix. I wouldn't be surprised with a W there. And then I think you got Boston the next night, which I think you can chalk up almost no matter what happens. So this is nice. It's nice, frankly, just not to see Memphis on the schedule again, not to see San Antonio or even Sacramento, not to have that dominant center knocking on your door and ready to score 30 on you with 15 rebounds, and you can't stop him short of fouling.
This is about the same time last year when LaMarcus was injured, and he comes back. The games this week, Phoenix, Boston, Saturday is Washington, Monday, Brooklyn. And then you've got next week Cleveland, Atlanta. So you want to see him back by Cleveland. And that ought to be fun. But, yeah, I think they're going to beat Phoenix on Wednesday. And I think C.J. McCollum is going to be a big part of that. C.J. played all right. He's getting out there again. Thomas Robinson, he's going to have to play well. It's going to need to be a team effort without LaMarcus if he misses Wednesday night's game. You can stay tuned to BlazersEdge.com for all those updates. And if there still isn't one, there should be one by Thursday's show, my daily show, when Dave comes on to talk Blazer hoops with me. But I'm not looking for really – I'm looking for a close game without LaMarcus, but I think they can beat Phoenix. Boston, yeah, that's not the gimme that a lot of people make it out to be, but I think they'll be all right. They have a couple of guys, Sullinger and Olynyk, who play pretty well. Marcus Smart, you're going to get a chance to see the Marcus Smart edition of the Boston Celtics. The game Saturday against Washington should be interesting if LaMarcus is not there, though. Even though it's at home, their big men, Gortat and Hilario, and, of course, Chris Humphreys, could cause some problems, Dave.
Yeah, it is a problem. They are a problem. And Gortat, I liked him before Lopez came on board. And I think he's one of the underrated centers. He's not going to make anybody's all-star list. He's not the first guy you think of. But if you can't get a premium center, Gortat's not a bad guy to have. And Nene has always been a handful. And he's often given Portland problems. And, of course, you got that backcourt duel. I mean, John Wall is Damian Lillard East. Bradley Beal is Wesley Matthews East. So you've got a little bit of mirror imaging going on there. And it'll be interesting to see that backcourt duel. That's the one, I guess, bright spot. If Aldridge is out, you're going to see the handcuffs taken off of Lillard and Matthews, and they're going to get to carry the game against another really good young backcourt. And that's going to be an amazing duel. So that one will be worth your DVRs, hopefully, no matter what happens. But, yeah, obviously you want Aldridge back. But even with LaMarcus back, the Washington front court could be a problem.
Yeah, they could be. And we want to make special mention, and even though we started off in a somber mode, we're rocking and rolling with Wesley Matthews. He is the Portland Trail Blazers' leading all-time three-point scorer. Congratulations to Wesley Matthews. That's an incredible feat. I thought that record by Terry Porter would be there forever, but it's not. Congratulations, Wesley Matthews.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're going to see more records like that start to fall. I mean, this is, we called it early in the year, but I think it's going to start to come true in the numbers too. This is one of those special incarnations of the Blazers. It's bubbling up slower than the other two did. But if you look at the record books, they're dominated by a couple eras. Obviously, first it was the Walton era, but then after that came the Drexler era. And you see a lot of those guys, based on their longevity, sure, but also because of their spike seasons, they dominate that record book. And nobody's come close to them in the intervening years. But now you have a team that's good enough and is probably going to be together long enough and plays consistently enough that you're going to start to see some of those records fall. And well-deserved. It's not a fluke that this team is as good as they are, because they are playing like one of those really, really good teams.
They sure are. And speaking of really, really good teams, March the 30th is Blazers Edge Night. And Phoenix is in town. And if you want to help support Blazers Edge Night, where we send a kid, deserving kids, lots of them, by the way, to watch the Portland Trail Blazers, to fall in love with the Trail Blazers, then come on over to BlazersEdge.com and just look for it everywhere. It is everywhere. And help us out if you can, and help send a young child to their first, possibly their first, Portland Trail Blazer game.
Yeah, and we're going to start pumping that pretty hard as the clock returns to February, because we'll be in the home stretch then, the last 6 weeks or so. We've already got a fair number of tickets sold, and we're looking to send over 1,000 underprivileged kids. So in the text field of this podcast post is the link. You can click there and help us out. Tickets aren't very expensive, $13 a pop, which is not much for an NBA ticket, but it's also not much to change the life of a kid. So if you could help us out, we'd appreciate it.
That's absolutely true. That is absolutely true. And again, We don't know the future of Marcus Aldridge, his health-wise anyway, but we do know that the Portland Trail Blazers have some rough games, and it'll be all right. I think that's about it. I think we got it all.
Pretty close. The one announcement that we need to make, and we saved it for the end because it's special, is that beginning in a couple weeks, you're actually going to get to double your fun with the Blazers Edge podcasts. Chris Lucia, my co-editor, is also quite adept at podcasting, and this has taken off enough between you and me to where we're ready to add a second day. So you will get double your money's worth beginning in February. There will be two Blazers Edge podcasts a week. We'll space them out so you can exercise on different days while listening to us or whatever you do. But we are successful enough that we're going to start to expand that. And who knows what the future will hold. Maybe someday there will be an entire Blazers Edge network going on. But for now, there's going to be us doing our usual slot. And then Chris and his guests are going to do a little more of a guest-based format for a second show every week, and that's exciting.
That's very exciting news, and we want to wish them all the best on that show. We will still be here every Tuesday. You can still catch Dave and I every Thursday on the Phil Nason Show. And I'll tell you what, I'm really happy that the Blazers are still out there. They're still one of the best teams in the West, and they're going to get a good shot at proving it this week. Look for four wins, folks, between now and the next podcast.
I was going to say, because I only counted three games and remaining in the week, and I was thinking there's cheerleading, but then there's math. I mean, that's. But I get it. Yeah, they have another fourth. I understand. So four wins in a row, you're predicting.
I went to Bible college, but I still have four fingers.
Well, LaMarcus Aldridge still has four, I suppose.
Yes, he does. Yeah, my thumb's not so good either after 30-plus years on tennis court, but it's all good. Man, I tell you what, this has been a fantastic time talking Portland Trail Blazers basketball. Again, if you want to find us over on iTunes, you can. Just search for The Blazers Edge. You can also find us on Stitcher.com. That's an application for your Android phone that turns your phone into a receiver, and we are up there under The Blazers Edge. Head on over to BlazersEdge.com every single day for up-to-the-minute Portland Trail Blazers news and an amazing community. Dave, well done. Great stuff today.
Yeah, well, we'll hope we'll have even better stuff to report on soon. And, get well, LaMarcus.
Yes, get well, LaMarcus. He's Dave Deckard. I'm Phil Nasons. You just listened to the Blazers Edge podcast. Thanks a lot. Rip City!